This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. For a magazine that spends most of its life covered by a brown wrapper or tucked under a bed, Playboy magazine is an icon, even if you read it only for the articles. In December of 1953, a young Hugh Hefner put a fully clothed Marilyn Monroe on the cover, smiling brightly and giving the camera a wave. For 50 cents, readers could see in full color the blonde bombshell nude. Playboy would go on to crown over 600 playmates and counting. In an article for New York Magazine, senior editor Noreen Malone takes a look back with a few centerfolds from the early days of Playboy magazine. Noreen, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So what was Playboy like in 1953?
It was brand new to the scene. Hugh Hefner was trying to create a sort of hip lifestyle more than anything. He really did have a lot of good writers who were contributing. So people who said they read Playboy just for the articles, you know, they had a leg to stand on. But it was a different kind of standard of female beauty than you might see in Playboy today. It was gentler. It was more associated with sort of the pinups of earlier eras.
So it was the up-and-comer. How was Playboy choosing its centerfold back then?
Well, in the case of one of the women I interviewed for this article, her name is Dolores Del Monte, and she was one of the very first Playboy centerfolds. She had a few years earlier done a bit of nude modeling for what she thought was just going to be a pinup calendar. And Playboy bought the rights to that pinup calendar from a company in Chicago. And Dolores got a phone call, and someone asked her, you know, can we use one of your old photographs in a magazine? She had no idea what Playboy was. It didn't even register for her. It was so new. She didn't even realize that it was one of her nude photographs. In fact, it was the only nude photograph she'd taken. She thought it was a swimsuit picture. And she didn't find out until years later that she had been in Playboy, which by then was an icon of America.
So I read in your article that Dolores made about $50 for an hour of work at that point. It came back to, I guess, haunt her much later in the form of her son discovering it. What was the story there?
Right. That's a really fun story. It was in the late 70s, and it was Playboy's 25th anniversary edition, I believe. And they had a special issue of the magazine with tiny little versions of each of the centerfolds. And her son, who was then in college, had bought an issue of Playboy, and he was perusing the historical centerfolds. And he remembered that his mother had done some modeling under the name Dolores Del Monte. She had never told him that it was nude modeling. And so he saw one of the centerfolds was labeled Dolores Del Monte, and he immediately sort of slammed it shut. And he called his mother and said, "Mom, I've got some news about your past." And she was, you know, I think she was a little embarrassed because her son had seen it. But ultimately, Dolores was very proud of the photographs. She has them hanging in her house now. You know, she attended her first party at the Playboy Mansion in 1997. She's really embraced it.
Well, a number of the women that you spoke to seem to embrace it. In fact, many of them pose, again, not necessarily nude for New York Magazine. But in general, was there a sense of, I don't know, victimization here or something else?
No, absolutely not. I think we tend to think oftentimes that, you know, women who are modeling in various states of undress are being objectified and that they are, you know, somehow being taken advantage of. But at least for all of these women, they felt very much in control of the situation. They'd made the decision themselves to pose. They felt that Playboy treated them with the utmost respect. They also were making what was very good money for the time. They many of them worked in the Playboy bunny clubs, and they really got to see the world. Several of the women I spoke to said, you know, Playboy opened so many doors for me. It put me in this world that I wouldn't have been able to be in otherwise. So They had a really positive relationship to their time posing.
Another one of the women you spoke to was Marilyn Cole Lowndes. Playboy published its first full frontal nude in 1972, and Marilyn was the model. What does she think of that photograph now?
She's very proud of it. She, you know, at the time, she was a little nervous because it was the very first. And she showed her mother and her father said, it looks like a Rubens painting, which was sort of a lovely way for a father to react. And what she says is that it feels sort of timeless. And this is what many of the women say, that the photographs felt artistic to them and they look timeless. And it is true that, you know, nude women have been a staple of fine art, you know, since basically the beginning of humans putting pen to paper.
And they do look relatively tame now, I suppose, even from what we might see on a magazine cover.
Right. So these women all posed, who we photographed in New York Magazine, they all posed in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And in the 70s, and then even more so in the 80s and 90s, Playboy really had to compete with magazines like Hustler and Penthouse, which put much, much more explicit photographs in there. So Playboy began doing full frontal nudity and began showing pubic hair, which it hadn't done before. And also the sort of aesthetic of Playboy shifted. You know, a lot of these women said the women now are so worked out, they're so plastic looking, everyone is tan and blonde. And that's a criticism that people frequently make of sort of later era Playboy, when Playboy had to compete not with just with Penthouse and with Hustler, but also, frankly, with like the plethora of images of nude women online and in online porn that was just much more readily available.
In the article, you bring up the nude selfie, which has become pretty commonplace in a society where cameras are in everyone's pockets and, you know, anyone can have their own boudoir photo shoot if they would like to. Even Hollywood stars, as we find. Now, you say this is about control. And what do you mean by that?
Well, it's kind of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, you don't need, you know, you don't need someone to annoy you and say you're beautiful enough to be, you know, objectified. Women can sort of look at themselves and say, I am beautiful. I would like to record myself as I am right now. However, once you take a photo in 2014, as we've learned with the recent celebrity photo hacking, nothing is truly private anymore. Any image that you put on your phone, someone could recover. So it is about having control and having control taken away from you.
I wonder if seeing these women so many years later, obviously we're getting a much different view of the human body than when they were young, nubile Playboy centerfolds. What did you think of that photo shoot?
One of the things that I loved most about these photos is how much the women all loved it. They were, you know, initially they were nervous. Listeners should check out the photographs. They are posed in various versions of lingerie, and these are women in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even one woman in her 80s. And at first, of course, they were nervous, and then they just really got into it. And all of the women had what I thought was a really wonderful relationship to their own beauty. Instead of being, you know, sort of sad about what had faded or what had changed, they all sort of said, I'm so much wiser now than I was then. And, you know, they're all beautiful looking older women.
Yeah. No airbrushing going on there. Very unvarnished and lovely.
Yeah.
Well, Noreen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Noreen Malone is senior editor at New York Magazine, and that's where we found her article, The View from a Centerfold. You'll find a link to the article and the photos, which are safe for work, by the way, at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.